set.
You are listening to Two Magicians, One Mic.
Hey, it's Two Magicians, One Mic. My name is Nick Paul. Today we have Chris Ruggiero. Yay!
I have my own mic. We got two mics. Don't tell anyone.
You know what? We've had two mics since 2013. We just haven't told anybody.
Ballers.
We're rebels. But you know what I'm really ticked off about? Amy Schumer has a new podcast called Three Magicians, One Keith or something like that on Spotify. And I'm like, real funny, Amy Schumer. I came up with that name in 2012.
Doesn't she have a history of stealing magicians' bits?
She has a history of like supposedly stealing comedians' bits. I don't know if it's true or not, but I really want to write to her on the Twitter universe and then get attacked by all of her fans. But maybe one day when I'm feeling bored, I'll do it. Because I know there's no way she stole it, but
yeah.
It's just hilarious
right
to me. Thanks for sitting down, Chris Ruggiero, on this podcast. I did your podcast, Between Dreams. I wanted to say Between Two Dreams, but it's not. It's Between Dreams.
Between Two Mics.
And by the time this comes out, that will have come out. So go check out your podcast,
yeah,
which is even more sporadic than my podcast. Mine's the first of the month and the 15th of the month. Yours is whenever.
Not anymore.
Well,
we're back on every week.
Okay.
Until next week when I leave town and probably don't do it.
Are you still doing the binge episode thing?
Well, we might go back to that. So right now they're coming out every week. The plan was to do one, like four at the beginning of the month, but then I didn't have time to edit four podcasts.
Well, that's the thing with podcasts, yeah.
So I went back to just traditional.
If I don't go and edit this the second we're done, it doesn't get finished. And then it becomes like the day before I'm supposed to release it and go, oh no.
Yeah. You can also listen to, we usually save the plugs for the end, but we do it right up front here.
We do. We're big time.
You can also listen to the Booby Trap podcast.
Which is great, which you also
produce. Which you're on. I think when this comes out, you will be on that as well.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know how many of those.
I think that was supposed to come out today.
Oh.
It didn't, though. Like today, as in the day we're recording this.
It didn't. You know, you can
come out later.
You can set it to auto-release. That's what I do for these.
Well, I would have to edit it first.
You guys don't even edit that. You don't even have an intro for that one. It's just play, which I loved about it. We just, like, Scott literally said, okay, we're going now.
I think that's a good thing about podcasts, and what's really cool, that it's just a really cool thing with podcasts and YouTube and whatever types of thing, and Instagram, whatever, or Facebook Live, is that you can have a radio show that would cost $50,000,
sure,
to create, you know, like 10 years ago. And now for like $600, or like what you could do it with what you have in your pocket right now. But like to have like a sweet setup, you could spend like $500 to $1,000 and have like a sweet podcast studio.
And that's kind of going into, this is a nice segue for me, going into what you're all about is kind of self-producing, making stuff happen. That's what Between Dreams is all about.
Yeah. And there's a weird thing with Between Dreams, which is my kind of like lifestyle community brand. And some people interpret it as like a between jobs thing. Like, oh, we're waiting for this thing. And it's interesting that some people are inspired by that. And kind of that's like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, I'm ready for this next thing to happen. And which I didn't ever realize that that was how it would be interpreted. But, you know, the initial thing, we were thinking about it, and it was, you know, everyone dreams these big dreams at night, but then during the day, you got to do something between the dreams. So Between Dreams is when life happens. And that's, if there's an explanation to that, we just took a selfie. If there's an explanation of Between Dreams, it's life.
Interesting.
So you got to make things happen.
And you got a book out on the Amazon?
Yeah. The Amazon. It's in the Amazon.
Probably feels like that
sometimes.
It's
in America, too. And, yeah, so the book was kind of created under the umbrella of Between Dreams, which is another cool thing of the Between Dreams world as, like, a company. Quote, I'm doing air quotes company.
Sure.
Because it's just like I decided to start a company.
That's the American dream right
there. And it's not really anything except me saying, oh, I have this thing now. And I can, like if you go on Amazon, my book called Just Go is published by Between Dreams. So it gives like such credibility. And it's the same thing. It's like you can record in your bedroom or write a book in your bedroom and have it published. And that is, as you said, a perfect thing in this whole world of just making things happen. Mm-hmm. Like you could wait for a publisher to call you back, and then you'll never have a book published.
That's what I like likely. About what you guys are really preaching, for lack of a better word, of, you know, I think that's one of the biggest differences of people out here in LA is, and I was like this for the longest time before I came out here, you just overthink stuff and go, oh, well, I shouldn't do this because of X, Y, and Z, or it won't happen because of this. And then you come out to LA and people, successful, not successful, however you want to look at success, are just making stuff happen, going, what are you doing Tuesday? Yeah, let's shoot that thing.
Yeah.
And there's never a doubt in anybody's mind of, should we do this? It's just, yeah, it's like how Scott Neary's show got started. It's just, yeah, let's just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, Scott's show is interesting, and if you talk to him more about it, he has some really interesting
We dove into it on when he did my show.
Yeah. So listen to that, and to summarize, you know, my experience of talking to him is he's sometimes like, I don't know, people say they like it, so I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's as people are like, whoa, where did this come from? How did you create this weird, unique show? And it was just you know, my book's called Just Go, and that he's living in that thing of, I don't know, people still like it. And he's like, I think people would be like a little disappointed if we would stop, so I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
And make it happen. And you know, whatever that means for people, that's my message is always in that thing of, if you want to start a podcast, you want to start a live show, you want to start whatever it is you want to do, there is always going to be plenty. If you're looking for excuses to not start, there's always going to be more of those. Like, you'll find those very easily.
There's always a reason not to do something.
Yeah. And you'll find less reasons to do it. It'll be harder to, like, find the justifications to do it. But then you just decide, like, okay, on Tuesday we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And then you decide to do it.
Yeah, I'm the worst at getting overwhelmed and overthinking stuff. And it's been such a nice Zen lesson coming out here of just – make it happen, man. Just do it. Don't think too hard about it, because it might fail or nobody will see it, but you did it. And especially with this podcast, in the last week I've had two or three people come up to me at the Magic Castle, and I've gotten a few messages saying, hey, I really love the show, keep doing it.
Yeah.
And it's always when I'm like, maybe I'll take a break from this.
Right.
Like, no, I have to keep doing it now because people like it.
Yeah, I find that sometimes too. I'll post something and it'll literally get like 8 views or something. And I'm like, well, that was a waste of a day. Like,
but then it leads to something else, or something else you did a year or two ago suddenly gets attention.
Yeah. Or it'll pick up later. Someone sees it and it's, oh, I saw this thing you did. Oh, I did that 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was worth it. And then if the culmination of this, if you're creating something every day or every week or every month, the culmination of that is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about this when you interviewed me on your show. But you've done The Ellen Show. You've done Late Late with James Corden. You've done the televisions. And this idea that people see that and go, oh, he's made it. He's successful now.
Yeah.
And then, but in reality, it was just a Monday for a couple hours.
That was an hour of my life. Plus 5 years leading up to every one of those of talking to them and pitching ideas.
Emailing,
That. And, yeah, there's no, I mean, I just talked to on my, to in a related thing, I've just talked to, so probably when this comes out, this episode will be out on mine, with Justin Willman, who magicians will know, as kind of the same thing. Like, I look at Justin and I'm like, oh, you did it.
Yeah.
He did all these things, has TV shows, and now he has this Netflix show coming out. And then I talked to him, and he's like, I don't know. He's like, all right, now what's next?
Yeah.
I did those. Yeah. Those are things that I did. And that's a really important, because I've been lucky enough to have friends and chat with people who I think of as like this ultimate, oh, you made it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that like they're exactly like all of us, and they just did a thing.
I got to see that firsthand. I was lucky enough, he invited me in to help out on the magic team with his Netflix show. And you think it's going to be like this organized train of, all right, we're going to do this today and this tomorrow. And really, it's just chaos. And it was such a great introduction of how to make a television show, because that was really my first experience being on the creative side of something that people are actually going to see, you know, in like a real major platform. And yeah, every day was just like, oh, let's try this. Let's see. And they had stuff scripted out and had it worked out. But and then when it was done, you could see it was just like such a weight lifted off their shoulders and happy to have it finished. But
yeah,
it's not an easy thing. And then you're like, okay, what's next?
Yeah. What's something that you are... I'm going to interview you now.
Hey,
something
this is my show.
What's something...
I'll talk about myself as much as you'd like.
What's something that you are thinking about right now that you've been hesitating to actually jump in and do?
Well, it's kind of just clicked in this way. I'm doing the... I have a couple ideas, but one right now that's starting to click is John Armstrong and I are doing the Magic Castle together in August, and we're going to write a completely new show, 45 minutes of new material, which is the most terrifying thing for me as somebody who clings on to my material and works way too hard on a 4-minute bit to make it perfect and then just wants to keep doing that over and over. So right now, in the past week, I've written two things that I think are going to work, and then I have a couple other ideas that I'm trying to work, but it's one thing to say, okay, I got this idea, and it's another thing to write it and have a beginning, middle, and end. And that's where I get overly obsessive of it has to have a beginning, middle, and end. And if it doesn't, it's not worth doing. I don't want to half-ass something on stage. It needs to have – I need to know where it's going. I can't improvise through a magic trick. What about you?
Yeah. Something I've –
because I saw you – we did a new material show with Taylor Hughes last month, and you were somebody I've seen do the same 5 minutes at Booby Trap, but it's always getting tighter and tighter and slightly different. But you did all new material, which I thought was great and was pretty awesome to see you out of – you didn't even look like you were out of your comfort zone, but it was cool to see you just forced to try new stuff.
Yeah, I hated that.
I could tell, but
– I was – you know, that show was – great because there's no pressure. And but like
there's
day
literally
before
like
that,
five of us there.
Yeah, the day before that I was like so mad at myself for agreeing to do it.
Sure.
Because I was like, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. Like I have to do new, I have to like learn these new things. Or not learn new things, but like figure out a way to make them slightly interesting of things that I don't know. And yeah, but then when I did it, I was like, oh, that was great. Because now, if anything, it just makes my normal show easier to do.
Totally.
I find that it, especially coming from a juggling world, it's a great thing for me to practice. Like sometimes I juggle five balls on stage, but I usually don't even do it because then it's like, it's not that it's that hard, but I have to focus on it, and I don't want to ever be on stage focusing on juggling.
Oh sure.
And which is weird to say as a juggler who does like a certain amount of technical skilled stuff. And my favorite thing was Marwa on Scott's Booby Trap podcast.
Great episode.
And to summarize, if you don't want to listen to it, my take home from that was she initially started working on these elaborate things, and then she would end with like doing 100 hula hoops on every like 7 different parts of her body and all these things. And then as she progressed, I would say, into becoming like a more whatever, as she moved forward, she realized that she could do like 3 hoops and smile at the person in the front row, and it was equally as of a thing. So to tie that all up into one thing, I think it was that like forcing yourself out of that comfort zone to like do something uncomfortable makes it really easy to do the thing that you were doing normally, and you were like uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm uncomfortable going on Booby Trap. I've done it like 100 times. I'm like, oh, I'm nervous about this because our brains like try to sabotage us all the time. So just getting out of that comfort zone by a forced out of your comfort zone, it makes coming back into what you have to do, which you were stressed out about before, like you're like, oh, this is easy. And that's what I like to do, to go out. And that's what I'm so thankful for, being able to like travel and do things that are always like, I'm like, I don't know how to do this, so let's get started, and then you figure it out. And that's my favorite thing about traveling, is that you can never plan for it because something's going to go wrong out of your control. Like there's when you get to the rental car counter, they don't have the car that you reserved.
Mm-hmm.
Or the flight gets canceled, or you're late to the airport, or like any of these things, or like you get to the hotel and it's your reservation isn't there, or you get to the show and there's no sound system that's ready to go, or the sound person. There's infinite things that will go wrong, and one of those things does go wrong every time I leave the house to go to a show. And then at first you're like, oh, this is, if one of these things happens, the whole show is ruined. Now I'm like, well, one of them's going to happen, and probably more. And then when I get home next week or tomorrow, whatever, my life is going to be exactly the same, no matter if everything goes perfectly or if it all falls apart.
Sure, yeah.
The next day, my life is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's no pressure on anything. Like, nothing matters.
Yeah, and I think it's funny. The more you travel, I've been traveling. I never used to travel that much up until about 2.5 years ago. And the more you travel, like once a month, you realize, once again, you just have to get into the zen state of something's going to go wrong and it's going to be out of my control. Hopefully it's not like my bags are lost and hopefully the plane's not delayed, but there's probably going to be a dance floor, or you know, the sound's not good, or something like that's going to happen. Or when I get on a ship, it's a 50-50 shot if the tech crew is like happy to help me tech the show, or if they're just like, you know, rolling their eyes every time I say, hey, can we play the video at this point? And you just have to, you know, just be willing to, you know, not be a total jerk about it and just know stuff's going to go wrong.
Yeah. And to go back to what we talked about at the initial thing, my favorite thing is starting. Maybe this is a downfall of mine. Is what I really enjoy sometimes the most is like creating something, that the initial like idea and starting something, and that's what it's helped me create a lot of stuff, and it's also hindered me because I like that second step when it gets hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, well, it's easier for me just to start something new, and then I have four different projects going on at any time. And I think there's a balance there, which I'm trying to like kind of laser focus in. But I find that some people that I talk to have the problem of they don't want to start that new thing. And then they get stuck in this rut.
Yeah.
So there's a balance of that. Like, don't start 30 projects because they're all going to suck. But also, like, you know, expand, you know, test out the waters over here and over there.
I think that's what we have in common with our buddy Taylor Hughes, is like when there is a week of a dry spell or a 2 week dry spell, we're like, oh God, we need to start something. And then we start. In my case, I started a corporate website I call it California Corporate Magicians, the best magicians in California. I'm like, I'm going to do this. It's going to take off. It'll be great. And I've gotten like one or two hits off it, but I put all this time and effort into it during a week of slow period.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, when I'm getting a little bit more and more busy as my summer starts to pick up finally, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to work on that right now. So it's managing stuff that you've started during a slow period and then continuing to do it is the toughest thing.
Yeah, for me, I found that I have a lot of things that on paper don't look like they have been worth it, or it seemed like a real waste of time or resources and energy. And if somebody would come like audit my business, they would be like, "What? You're too far. None of this is making sense." But for me personally, I'm like, "Oh, well, you know, it's like a podcast, for example. Like most podcasts aren't on paper worth doing."
Sure.
Because it's like, oh yeah, well, it's time. A lot of time goes into it. A lot of energy, literally money. It costs real money to create it.
By the way, if you want to be a Patreon member of Two Magicians One Mic for $3 a month,
head over to patreon.com/betweendreams.
No, / Two Magicians One Mic. We are currently supporting each other's Patreon right now.
Yeah, so we're. No, I didn't do. I have to sign up for yours.
So I'm effectively losing money giving you money.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. Don't worry about it. No, I'm amazed at how many people have been responsive to that and have just like sent me emails. Yeah, we want to give you money, or we want to donate monthly. So there is a demand for stuff like that out there, which is great.
Yeah.
I forgot what you were talking before I interrupted you with my sales pitch.
Oh, that things don't look like they're worth it. But
yeah,
And to wrap that up in one thing, like, momentum is momentum, no matter what. And I found that sometimes I'll be stuck on something, stuck on this one part of, you know, business, whatever it is. I'm like, I'm at a dead end here. Like, I don't know what, I can't push anymore. I'm burned out or whatever. So I'll translate over into something else that seemingly is not related. And then I'll find that the moment, just momentum of me being, maybe that's something of being like aligned with doing work or doing something that I know is valuable in some way. It like solves the other problem.
Yeah.
And I was like, that I actually didn't do anything. Hmm. And I just talked to the another episode of my show with Joel Ward, another magician.
Good guy. Done this show.
He had a great line of, we were talking about exactly that, of when sometimes it's just like you need a break sometimes. And he has this joke he was saying with his fiance about he'll go take a nap. And that sometimes just solves all the things. Sometimes we're like working, we're spinning our wheels and we're getting nowhere. And it's just because we're trying too hard. It's like, yeah, put the work in. And then, all right, take a break. Like, it is okay to take a breather.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's when, you know, sometimes that's what you need to, and that's not an excuse to be lazy or, like, you know, sleep all day or something, but.
I think it's knowing when, because I've been going through this a lot, too, where it's like, you know, I did six different dates of shows last week alone. The week before that, you know, very little going on. And then by Sunday, I'm like, okay, I can sit and watch television and not feel guilty about it. When in reality, I think it's okay to sit and watch television or play video games anytime you want, as long as you have put in an equal amount of time of work or put some effort into a project or, okay, I did an hour of this so I can relax. And then I think it's a balance of going back and forth, because I stress myself out about going, oh, I can't sit here and watch television. I haven't done enough work. I haven't booked enough gigs today. And we're just like, sometimes it just doesn't happen. And I think as long as you're trying, or you have a list of things that you want to get done, and, or, you know, or slowly checking off or putting the energy towards, I think it's okay.
And is there, right, in the current world of like entrepreneur thing and like hustle, the grind, it's like glorified to be busy, and people are bragging about not sleeping for 3 days and stuff. Yeah. And I find that there might be a issue in that people are like, well, I've been hustling, I've been working, and been like, but for the sake of what?
Yeah.
I was like, what do you have to show for it? Like, did you accomplish anything? I think there's people who right now are just like, oh, hustle, hustle, because it's like glamour, like for Instagram.
Sure.
Oh, haven't slept 3 days, been hustling, and people are like, oh yeah, cool. But then it's like, but you didn't do anything.
You probably sleep.
So like,
you get more done if you slept.
Right. And it's like, if you would just work for 4 hours a day, like I know this of every entertainer and creative person that I know.
Sure.
If we would all just work from 8 a.m. till noon, like that's it, just like do the work, mm-hmm. we would all be like really like accomplishing a lot more, because I think we just are like, like kind of like working all day, they're doing busy work, but it's not really focused. So I think I always like try to do this, but then I always just like, let's schedule my day like, okay, like no distractions, like 8 a.m. till noon or 1 or whatever, just work. If I would do that, like I could take the rest of the day off. I could do whatever I want for the rest of the day, and I would probably be accomplishing more than I am now, where I feel like I'm working for 14 hours a day, but I'm just like, oh, kick over here, watch a YouTube tutorial, because it feels like I'm like fake being
productive.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm watching a YouTube tutorial, but really it's a form of entertainment.
Well, it's quality over quantity. You know, that's something that was introduced to me by English teacher, one of my English teachers in high school. He's like, anytime we had to write an essay, he's like, I don't care how long it is, I just want it to be good.
That's right. It can
be 3 pages, it can be 10 pages, it can be a page if it's good. And then that was kind of a revelation to me. And I sometimes get down where I have friends either back home or around the country that have real jobs, you know, 9-to-5ers. And I'm like, oh, I don't have that. I'm just lazy. You know, they get up every day, they go to work. Then I realize I'm like, in a week between shows and advertising and returning emails and just like responding to stuff and promoting, I'm doing as much work, if not more, than they are. It's just spaced out at different times. It's at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday at Booby Trap. It's, you know, it's at noon for an hour returning an email or two. But the difference is they get on Friday, they get Friday to through Friday evening through Sunday off, and they don't have to do any work, you know, in many cases who people have jobs like that. So it's just the time management is different. And I try to not get too stressed out about that and feel like a lazy person.
Yeah. What do you think is a...
You don't have to ask me. I can ask you questions.
I
this
like
is my
asking
podcast.
You questions. What do you think is the most... the biggest challenge for people... So, like, a lot of our circle are people who, like, are pretty much, like, getting by, at least. Maybe not as successful as we all want to be. There's always more improvement. But I feel like there's probably a lot of people who are listening to these podcasts that I create and you create and Scott and Taylor and the other people that I'm skipping over. That's,
don't
like,
know.
The crew right there. I think there's a lot of people who are... And I don't mean to say this in any sort of negative way, but I feel like there's a lot of people who are listening to what we're doing and seeing us. We're doing it because we're like in LA and, you know, making some TV appearances, doing variety shows, doing our own shows, like headlining on cruise ships and resorts and colleges and Magic Castle. So what do you think is the to provide value for somebody who is maybe one step below that or just starting out?
It used to be for me, I've been watching a lot of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee because it just dropped the new season. And then we talked about Harrison Greenbelt was on mine and he mentioned Steve Martin's philosophy of, I used to think it was hard work, determination, no matter what, and talent was just kind of a driver's license. But in reality, it's starting to change for me in that just be undeniably good. Find your thing. Like, you have your version of juggling, which works. I have my version of magic, which is working most of the time. And that's what's getting me to other things. It's just focusing on the work and being undeniably good. And I think that's really all you have to focus on. The other stuff just comes, staying busy just comes out of that. And sometimes you're not going to be busy. It's going to be very slow this whole month for me. You know, prior to this week was pretty slow, and that was a wake-up call. But it's also, it was kind of a gratifying wake-up call because it was like it was the first time it's been slow since January, and that's the longest I've gone in my career of having a slow period. So it's, that just comes from doing the work, focusing on the routines or focusing on making the show good and just having people walk out and go, that was a great show.
Yeah,
I think that's all. You're just trying to make people happy and you're just trying to take people away from their problems. And, you know, I think Saturday was the first, I did a show that we've done before. I won't name the name. It was the first time I was performing for an audience that was just, they were either too inebriated or too hot or just not, I wasn't able to give them a sense of fun. So I was just making it fun for myself. And because I'm like, I'm not going to let these people, you know, affect me being my happiness level. I'm doing what I'm doing and I'm going to do it well because I've put the hours in. And if they don't think it's good, they don't think it's good. That's okay. And just, I'm going to go into the next gig and not take it personally.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think that's cool. That's a good, and if I would add to that or add my thoughts to that, I think especially in the variety world, that's probably everyone who's listening to this. I try to make it more approachable.
Well, that's why I've been interviewing less magicians on this because I'm like, oh, that's kind of not very inclusive to other people. But I think entertainment in general is interesting to people. So
it doesn't have, this isn't relevant to variety or even performers. And my, not to take away, but to build on yours with my additional things of that, to be like undeniably good. For me, absolutely. So this is again, I don't want to step on this. Will irritate other jugglers and magicians.
Okay. Irritate them. They all get mad.
They, no matter half what of you them do, hate they get me mad. Already anyway.
Same
so.
For me. Half the people love what I do. The other people are like, this guy, he's just doing X, Y, and Z.
I've gotten, like, well, it came from, like, a very small percentage of people, but I've gotten stuff from, like, other jugglers who, like, attack me about, like, not being technically skilled enough.
I think you're one of the most skilled jugglers I've ever... I've worked with a lot of jugglers. They can go suck a bag of pineapples, in my opinion.
So, and in relating to that, in what where my brain goes with what does that mean to me? Be so... what was your term?
Undeniably
good. To me, that doesn't mean... So there's jugglers who are really skilled. Like, Niels Dunker is one of the best jugglers. Or Josh Horton is amazing juggler. Technically, like, they can throw more things in the air and catch them consistently than I will ever be able to comprehend. Technically, they're far superior jugglers than I am. And I have no interest in ever pursuing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Like, those guys have their own world, and it's different than what I'm interested in. But I can get equally as the amount of work and opportunities, because being undeniably good to me as a juggler or as an entertainer or as a live theater performer, which is what I prefer, means to give an audience an experience.
Sure.
And it never has anything to do with how good my juggling was.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's to build on to that, on my answer to that, be good. You know, you have to be you have to know how to juggle and catch things. You have to know how to do the skills of doing the manipulation of whatever you're doing in a magic trick. You need to be able to make your fingers hit the guitar chords that they need to hit. And then you need to focus on creating an experience. So it's experiential, yeah, for me. And again, is the best musician the person that can play like the craziest chord or like hit the craziest note? Like, technically, yeah, that's the best musician, but they're not the best entertainer. Almost never do those things. Is like, well, think about the most popular pop stars throughout history.
Even the Beatles
have pretty much never been the highest skilled,
yeah, amazing music, but you're not the most skilled musician. Great musicians, but not the most skilled musicians, but right, still have, you know, some of the best music in history. So
where like some classical music artist or something is far superior technically,
sure,
and no one has ever heard of them because,
yeah,
they spent their entire life learning that technical skill instead of doing what the work that's required.
It's not
to
as
be
appealing,
popular or...
And it goes back to not being appealing towards the masses, but making something that's, I think, inclusive towards everyone and invites people in. And going back to skill of juggling, that's something I learned working with some jugglers at Disney World. He's like, I used to do 6 balls. I used to do 7 balls. And I remembered nobody would care.
Yeah.
But at the end, they didn't remember if I did 3 or 6. So I just started doing 3 and making it more entertaining. And that's what,
exactly,
they gravitated to.
That's exactly the thing. And I think there's some people, and I got this criticism, especially when I was first starting, of jugglers being like, well, you don't even do 5 balls. And I was like, yeah. You can't, like, yeah, I know. I never said I could. You could attack me if I, like, lied,
yeah,
and said I could do this, and now I'm, and now I'm not. But I was just listening to an interview with Ryan Holiday, who's an author, and he gets all this criticism of, like, taking these ancient philosophical principles and, like, relating them to now and using, like, pop celebrities and stuff as examples of, oh, this person used this old ancient principle,
sure,
and achieved this success. And then he says he'll get reviews, like, bad reviews on his books and saying, well, he's just recycling this ancient philosophy and just using these, like, modern these modern popular people to, and that's actually taking away from,
yeah,
the ancient text. And Ryan says, he's like, yeah, that's exact, like, that's what, if you want the ancient text, go read the ancient. He's like, I can't write it, I can't do that better than they did.
Yeah.
what I can do is like learn about these people in the world now and explain how they're using this. Like, that's exactly what his goal was.
Yeah.
And then he's getting criticism and he was like, you can't criticize me for something that I like said up front that I was doing.
You can't. I'm really learning. You can't read the comments ever because half of it's kind, positive people. And the other half are just people that just want to tear things apart and just want to criticize. It's funny how people, I was thinking about this yesterday, how people just criticize television and criticize books who have no business criticizing.
Yeah.
Like, can you make, even if that show's terrible, can you make that show? Can you get all those people together, those actors? And like, I don't know. It's, people don't really, maybe they don't need to, but they don't really have respect for things that they can't do.
Yeah.
I think everybody claims, people who tear stuff down claim to be an expert in stuff that they have no business being an expert in. And, I mean, I'm just describing the internet right now.
Yeah.
But, and the other half is just people who are, you know, happy, positive, you know, putting good things out there. So I made the mistake of looking at the YouTube comments, I'm sorry, the Facebook comments on Ellen DeGeneres' page. She just was raising money for people not getting their families split up at the border, you know, something everybody was putting on Facebook. And man, just these people who like were ripping it apart, who have no business ripping it apart. I'm like, I understand you have an opinion, but why? What, like, how is this, how are you mad about this right now?
Yeah.
And that's just, you just have to walk away and go, all right, that's, we've given a voice to people who probably shouldn't have voices in many cases. And
right.
But that's democracy. That's just how it works sometimes.
Yeah. And I think there's I feel like the theme here today has been, it's like, there's, don't put so much pressure. Everything doesn't need to be this ultimate thing. And it's just another chat I was just listening to with a great inspiring person who is Seth Godin, has written many years of everyday blog posts.
Wow.
And sometimes it's just like a couple sentences. It's just his thought for the day, and they're always great. And it's like a very obvious thing once you say it out loud, but it's an interesting thing. And he says, by the law of numbers, half of everything I wrote is below average.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, yeah, obviously, like that, when you say it, it's like a funny thing. But it's such a relief.
Sure.
In that you don't, we wait till we have this great thing to write a blog post or make a YouTube video or do a live show or do a routine or whatever it is that you want to create. We wait until it's like ready or until it's 100%. Where Seth's process is write a blog post every day. Half of them are going to be below average. It's like half of every performance we do is going to be below average,
mm-hmm.
because that's what it is. There's going to be good ones and there's going to be bad ones, and it's the numbers mean that half of them are going to be not mm-hmm. the best show. And that's really valuable to me, in that also on the same thing of that is that people forget, people don't punish, people are like, well, if I make one bad thing, that's going to linger forever. I'm like, no, it, first of all, no one cares about anything that anyone's doing for more than a day. If you make the greatest song ever or the greatest podcast or the greatest YouTube ever and it gets 30 million views tomorrow, next week, no one cares.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting about the internet. It's just, it's instant gratification if something hits and then it's immediately forgotten.
Yeah. So to spin that of that sounds depressing because you can create the greatest thing ever and it's gone, to make that not depressing is if you make the worst thing ever that's ever been on the internet, first of all, no one's going to watch it. Great. And then everyone's going to forget about it.
Sure.
And then you can make another one tomorrow, and maybe that's the best one. And I know the Gary Vaynerchuk bandwagon is strong lately, and I hate to even contribute to that, but he has some great stuff, and I'm a fan of some of the things that he says. It's like the next video that you publish, or the next song that you create, or the next podcast that you post, or the next blog post, whatever it is that you're creating, the next live show, the next booby trap appearance that you do, can be the one that makes it all work.
Yeah.
And it's like it's another obvious thing to say, but it's never going to be the one that you spent a year creating and perfecting. It's going to be this random one. You're like, oh, that was the one?
Yeah.
Like my biggest YouTube video on my channel, like I don't have a huge YouTube channel, but I'm trying to find what that is. And I did the series where I would interview people who are living in vans. Mm-hmm. It was like really interesting to me.
Yeah, I watched a few. It was pretty interesting.
And there was the first one, actually. I was like, I didn't know the format of it or anything. But with Kyle Kesterson, it's a great video. It has over 100,000 views. And it was just because I met him actually at Booby Trap the one night. And we started chatting, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm just, like, staying at Venice Beach in my van. I was like, what? That's odd. I was like, I'm fascinated by that because I love the idea of being able to travel everywhere all the time. And I was like, can I make a video with you? And he's like, yeah, yeah, totally. And I had no format. It was just, I was just curious. And it was me asking him questions and allowing him to share his story. And it got over 100,000. Again, that's not, like, life-changing for anyone. Like, people are getting millions of views every day on YouTube. But for me, that was the biggest video I've ever published. And it was really cool. And it was just because I did the thing. I didn't try to I was holding a camera in my hand.
Yeah.
Like I didn't wait until I had a TV crew to make this show about people living in vans. I used what I had. I had a little pocket camera with me that day.
And I think the essence of that is you were just curious and you wanted to make this thing.
Yeah.
Without any, you know, it's just a Buddhist thing, really. It's just you made this thing without any intention of wanting something from it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm interested in this. And that's how portions of my show, and I'm sure your show, have gotten better of just like, oh, I'm interested in this idea.
Yeah.
Let's just work on it. And then it gravitates and it works just because your natural curiosity is what's driving that.
Yeah. So be curious and then make stuff that, well, I guess it comes down to like create work that you would want to see.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the basis of what I've been trying to do, just create a show I would want to watch.
Yeah, we get so locked, because we spend 10 years or 15 years or 20 years in this world, we forget that the audience is the only reason why we're doing anything.
Well, that's the biggest difference between live and video, is if you're not connecting with the audience, what's the difference? And when I see somebody whose show, and I was guilty of this for many, many years, I mean, that's the struggle with doing silent stuff, a show that's exactly the same every single time, that's not reacting to what the audience is giving them. It's like, well, you might as well just video this and put it up once and be done with it.
Right.
So, yeah, there's that. That's the reason I think we do live stuff, is because that's why actors who are getting millions on a TV show go and make $500 a week in New York.
Yeah.
Because they want that, you know, interaction, that there's something fulfilling about that.
Yeah.
Well, this was good. We both just like naturally stopped at
that
point.
Did we do it?
Well, we're at 44, but like a minute and 40, that was you just putting tape on the mic.
Oh.
That's going to be the Patreon extra.
We could take
extra.
The tape off, no?
No.
Oh.
just leave it. Any parting advice, anything you want to promote?
Everything that I've done and said, we could have skipped the 45 minutes and... Just and you don't even need to read my book. Just look at the title and the answer. And I have this like video essay that I created when I said, what happens when you say yes? And or the title, I forget what it is, but it's basically like I ended up in Hawaii and it was a say yes. And there's one shot in it that says, There was a book with a simple two-word title that held my answer, and it cuts to a shot of my book called Just Go, and it says all the I did write the book after all. So I often, instead of promoting my book of you don't need to buy the book, just think about that of just go, holds so many answers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking about something, try it. What's the worst going to happen? You lose half a day, like. Trying to learn how to do a podcast and no one listens to it. Okay, if you really liked it, you'll keep going. If not, then you wasted a half a day.
That is my favorite line in Spaceballs of stop preparing. You're always preparing. Just go.
Yeah, right, exactly. And you know, it's like it's a universal thing. Like Nike nailed it with, just do it. Like that's a thing. Just go. Try it. What's the worst that's going to happen? And that's the key. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Are you going to waste a day or a week? Good. You were probably going to do that anyway, mm-hmm. at whatever you were doing before. So just go is the advice. And of course, if you want to dig deeper and learn what that means to me, check out the book. It's like really easy to, half of it's pictures, so.
That's my kind of book right there. And where are you on the social media?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, One Man Variety. And that's...
What's your YouTube channel?
YouTube channel, if you just search my name, Chris Ruggiero, it'll come up. And yeah, we're also doing live, or not live, but video of all my podcast interviews for the podcast listeners that mm-hmm. like that.
And watch me blabble
yeah,
on for 30 minutes.
Yeah, that'll be on in soon.
Supposed to be today
now.
But not, but that's okay. All right,
and listen to you on Booby Trap podcast.
Yeah, those will both be out by the time this comes out, so
yeah,
Scott Neary's,
they're out now.
Scott Neary's Booby Trap podcast, hosted by Scott Neary, is that the official title?
Yeah.
Which is a great title. And then yours is Between Dreams podcast, right?
Yeah,
awesome. Check them out on the iTunes, the Spotify, the Google Play, and that's about it. Okay, bye everybody.
Goodbye.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. If you really like the show, you can donate a few bucks a month on our website, twomagiciansonemic.com, or become a monthly subscriber through our Patreon link. Thanks to all the people that support the show and keep it up and running. Be sure to follow us on the interwebs at @twomagiciansonemic. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.